My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The offensive coordinator, quarterback coach for that Memphis football program, Tim Kramsey on X at TKramsey19. Coach Kramsey, how's it going, man?
Going great, man. Rolling through camp here day by day. I know you guys, everybody out there in the real world saying how close we are to game time, 2 Saturdays away. We got a lot of work we got to do. It feels like it's a long ways away for us with practice every single day moving forward.
Yeah, I will say this, having gone through 5 separate fall camps, these are the dog days, aren't they? End of the dog days for the guys.
There's no question. Seems like you've been here a long time, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But day by day, we're getting better, getting closer, inching closer. And you can start feeling the excitement as you come in the office every day.
Yeah, how do you keep these guys motivated as you get into the heart of camp, man? You're getting up all early. You have to get your lift in. You have to do the walkthrough. Then you have obviously there's no two-a-days anymore, even though it's pseudo two-a-days. But how do you keep these guys motivated along the way?
I'll probably say this a whole bunch throughout this interview. We have a senior led team, guys who have been here a long time, guys who have the goal of what they want to do this year. So, I think a sign of a good team is a team where the coaches don't have to do the motivating. They're self-motivating going on. The leaders of the team are doing the motivating. And one of the things I've been very impressed with this fall camp is these guys come in every morning with a smile on their face, with the right attitude to go to work. Now, not every day is perfect, as we all know, but they come in with the right mindset, the right attitude, to me, that's a compliment to the leaders of this team, the guys who have been here for a while.
And it feels like another thing that would be helpful with is not reading all the publications about you, right? You got a lot of expectation, a lot of people writing good things about you. How do you keep them away from that? Keep them sort of one focused. How do you keep them singularly focused on what's ultimately going to happen by the time you get to season?
That works both ways. So you don't read the good stuff about you. I mean, there's no way to keep them off X or off Twitter. There's no way to keep them off social media. So they're going to read what's out there, and they're going to read the good writings, and they're going to read the bad writings. And we educate them from day one that what you're reading out there has nothing to do with it. No one needs to tell you if you're playing well or not playing well. They're going to be on there, even though I recommend they don't go on there.
Right.
But they hear it, and you got to stay away from the rat poison and stay focused as a team, stay focused as a unit. Again, that goes back to the leaders of the team that have to keep them focused in that mindset. But you can't buy into what you read either way.
Yep. So how have you felt about the offense, at least at this point through camp, and the performance? I've seen Coach Silverfield. He talked to the media and basically said, you know, penalties have been the big issue through at least the first scrimmage. But what have you felt about where you guys are at right now heading into the season?
Yeah, you know, I like where we're at. I think there's some guys that are showing up. You know, we have the names that everybody knows that's coming back. But then, you know, some of the young guys are stepping up, some of the transfer guys coming in. And to me, that's the hardest part of all this transfer portal thing, is to get the camaraderie of the team.
Yep.
And we have so many new faces on a yearly basis, you know. And some guys have been here for spring, some guys came after spring. So we walked into fall camp. That was the first time we really had the full team here with our freshmen, you know, that didn't come through spring ball and stuff like that, some of the transfers we got afterwards. So I like where we're at. I think that the older guys are playing well. Older guys are toning things up. We're getting some young guys that are adding some serious depths. And there's, you know, I always tell the offensive players, it's your job to prove to us that you deserve to be on the field. And then once you do that, it's our job to find a way to put you on the field. And I think some guys are really turning some heads and making some noise here.
Now, you know what I have to ask about? I have to ask about offensive line. Now, I did put in my waiver to the NCAA, see if I could get an extra year, but I'd imagine they'll get back to me here relatively soon, whether it's email or phone, and they'll probably tell me no.
No question.
You know, you've already played 5 years. What do you think about this offensive line? Brought in guys like Trent Holler, Jalen Nichols, Kedrell Lewis this past offseason. You have a lot of guys that have played a lot of ball. How have they been faring so far, and what do you feel about the depth of the offensive line?
Yeah, they're coming together. They're doing a really good job. Those guys are all good players individually, but you know, as an O-line guy, you know that it's you know, individual O-line plays, and what it's about is about five guys playing together. So all those guys, Jalen, Kedrell, Trent, the guys that came in, are really gelling with Xavier and Jonah, who have been here for a little bit. Malachi is doing a good job as a young guy. He played for us in the bowl game, you know, and sometimes you forget he's still a freshman, you know, realistically a redshirt freshman. But he's done a good job for us. Mitch Gildenhouse played some ball for us last year, added some depth to it. Jonathan Young, Chris Adams, who came over from Old Dominion. So, you know, I've been here going on year three. This is the most depth we've had in the offensive line. It's the most competition we've had in the offensive line. And, you know, on both sides of the ball, but specifically on offense that I speak for, we are, you know, I told him just the other day, we're nowhere near saying who's starting and who's playing
right.
The first game and who's at. Let the competition continue through this week and maybe early next week. And then, you know, once you get to that, you know, 10 days out of the first game, that's when you really got to have a set depth.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can start, you know, the five alignment can start working together. So Seth knows exactly who he's throwing to, you know, and it's starting to play itself out. But speaking of the O-line, you know, I think going into year three, this is the most depth we've had in the offensive line, most competition. There's not one guy up there who's not looking over his shoulder, who thinks he can have an average day and he's going to be okay. So to me, competition makes us all better, and that's huge.
So how many guys do you think up there do you have that you would feel comfortable rolling out there in a starting five going into the game against North Alabama?
Yeah, I'd say there's probably eight guys.
Okay.
You know, you include Mitch Gildenhouse, who played for us last year, and we won a game with Mitch up there. You know, he's played center, he's played both guard positions. So I think there's eight guys that we feel pretty good about going in. And you know, the young guys are taking their strides, don't get me wrong, but there's eight guys who I think are ready to step in and play. So to me, that's huge. That's in offensive line, I don't care what program yet, that's a huge number.
Yeah, no,
you feel good about.
No question. I'd like to hear that. And I'm talking with Tim Kramsey, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for the University of Memphis on X at TKramsey19. Now, there's a lot written about Seth this offseason and really the last couple of offseasons with the transfer portal and everything else and, you know, keeping him on campus. We know it's going to be a rarity, especially at this level, to keep a quarterback for 4 years. How much went into that, and how much did your relationship with Seth sort of help facilitate that on the back end? How open were the lines of communication throughout this entire process?
Very open. Him and his father were very open in what they, you know, what was going on and what was happening, and you know, schools reaching out and contacting his dad. I used to always mess with it. That is a big time, you know, head coach down in Texas. Every coach in the country goes through his office, and I'm assuming the first thing they ask about was Seth Hennigan.
Right.
You know, when they went into his office, and then they got into the players he had in his program. But I think, you know, me and him have a very good relationship. You know, I think in any program where we're at right now, stability is a key. You talk about transfer portal world, but then, you know, sometimes you forget about the coaching carousel that goes on every fall, you know, or every off season. And for us to be able to bring back basically our entire offensive staff, the head coach, the quarterback, myself, you know, that's a huge deal. And, you know, me and Seth are very open as to, you know, what his opportunities were. And, you know, obviously, you know, I always give him, you know, my exact advice as to what I'm thinking. You know, his best interest is at my heart, and I just kept telling him, you know, as who you are, you know, this is the best place for you. You and me together is the best place for you. We're bringing Rock back. We're bringing guys back you played with. Coach Stillfield, you know the program. You know, it's hard for any quarterback to go into another program and be successful with, you know, all new receivers, new system, new everything. And, you know, that's kind of what it came down to. And then once all of us decided, you know, this is the place we're going, there was no looking back. And right now that's, to me, stability is a huge part of where we can go this season is because of that.
Yeah, does the way that this whole thing operates, you know, with Seth getting reached out to, that type of thing, and really other guys on the roster getting reached out to potentially go elsewhere, does that frustrate you, or is that something you just put to the side and say, screw it, we have to deal with it, we have to move forward?
It's the way college football is in 2024. It's what everybody wanted, and it's what everybody got. So, you know, it does not frustrate you. It requires you, and I think Coach Sofa does a tremendous job of this. It requires you to re-recruit the guys in your program every single year, and get a hold of their parents and talk to their parents and talk to their guardians and the ones who are decision makers and all that. And to me, that's just the way college football is. So you can complain about, you know, anything in the world when policies and rules change. You can complain about it, or you can find a way to adapt it and take advantage of it and use it as a strength. And to me, the fact that Coach Stillfield and the rest of the staff could keep the main players here talks a lot about what's going on in this program and the culture that Coach Stillfield has built.
Now, the big conversation for this team, you know, heading into the season is really going to be about the defense, right? And I thought, you know, what Coach Hankins did in that AutoZone Liberty Bowl was phenomenal. Holding Iowa State to 0 yards rushing, you know, that was great stuff. Now, how much, you know, as opposed to years past, how much has it changed on that side of the ball? Has it been a lot more sort of pushback in camp when you get into scrimmaging, when you get into sort of the open periods? Has there been a lot more pushback from that defense?
Yeah, a lot of give and take. A lot of, I always joke with Coach Silford as a head coach, man, he's going to be bipolar. You know, he's so happy for the offense on one play, and then he's mad at the defense, and then two plays later, he's happy for the defense, he's mad at the offense. So to me, you know, it's been great competition. There's been, you know, like some back and forth, the situations they've won, situations we've won. But the big thing is the competition is tremendous right now. With both offense and defense and the togetherness and the camaraderie. So naturally, boys are going to be boys. There's going to be people mad at each other when you run into each other and you hit each other all day long. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But the for lack of better terms, the friendly competition that's going on right now, and understanding that we're all in this for the same goal, is another thing that I've been very impressed with this team, because I've been in programs and been on teams where that's not the case. Where it's offense on this side, defense on that side, and that's just how it is. And that's not this case. And we're going to battle each other. We're going to compete in practice. We're going to get after each other. You know, we as coaches are going to jaw back and forth to each other. Players are going to jaw back and forth to each other. But when we get together and break that huddle after practice, you know, we're all on the same page. We're all in it for the one goal.
Now, holler at me about, so last year you talked about the Chicago O'Hare Airport theory. Are you still operating like that with Seth?
That's every day. Every day, and that's what me and him preach about every single day. I say to him all the time, you got one play at a time for the rest of your life. You know, I always try and educate him and all the guys I coach that this game of football is one thing, but I'm trying to teach you about the game of life as well. And that statement goes past the game of football. But That's what Seth has to do, and I think he does a tremendous job of that. I talk about the Chicago airport, but at the same time, we all know you're never going to play the perfect game. And I think one thing that everyone always asks me, what has changed over 3 years? And to me, that's something he's been able to do, and it's part of maturity, it's part of growth, it's part of development. But when I first met him, he put so much demand on himself that a mistake that happened sometimes carried over to the next play or the play after that, and it kind of snowballed a little bit. There was some points at early last year and off season last year where that stopped, and he was able to snap out of a bad play and come back and just play the next play. And to me, that's what we preach, that's what we talk about, because that's what this game of football is. If you think you're going to be perfect, ain't going to happen. If you think you're just going to roll every drive and every play, like I joke about, man, those guys on defense, they have scholarships too. Like, they're good players. Sometimes they're going to make a play on you, and as long as you never make the same mistake twice, and then you're getting better. And, that's the thing I've seen from him. And that's what we preach about, is just playing the next snap. I always tell every team, it's hard to play the perfect game, but it's not hard to play the next play perfectly. And that's all we got to do for the rest of our lives.
So holler at me though, real quick. Let my listeners know what the Chicago O'Hare Airport theory is.
It's talking about playing the perfect game.
Right.
As quarterbacks, we got to be perfect. We touch the ball every single play. We have to be perfect. I tell them that the success of the offense is dependent upon the success of themselves. And if we do it right, then things are going to be just fine. So we talk about playing perfect because and related to the Chicago O'Hare Airport, because if the air control tower at Chicago O'Hare Airport was 99.9% efficient, there would be 3 crashes per day.
Yeah. That wouldn't be good.
99.9.
They get shut down pretty quickly.
99.9 doesn't cut it. We got to be perfect. We got to be 100%. Like I say, you could play 80 plays perfectly as a quarterback and mess up and throw a pick on that last play, and all X is going to talk about, and all Twitter's going to talk about, and all that stuff's going to talk about is that last play, period, bottom line. That's the way life is a quarterback. It's not a stressful thing. That's what we signed up for. That's what we chose to do. So, every play is going to be deciding on what's going on and what your game's going to look like.
Now, one thing that I find interesting about your messaging, that you've told the media this, but you also clearly are talking to Seth behind the scenes about this. You're saying this is a legacy-building year for him. You're not shying away from that. Obviously, some built-in pressure could be, behind that type of messaging if you're giving that to Seth. But at the same time, has that been sort of on the forefront? This is your legacy-building year. These next 3 to 4 months, this is how you build your legacy at the University of Memphis. Obviously, he's, the school leader in passing yards. He's been able to break all these records. But now it's time for winning. It's time to get over top, go win an AAC championship.
And that's the goal. That's the plan. That's what we talk to the team about. So,
right.
Yes, these next 6 months will determine a big part of your life, and it'll determine what are you willing to sacrifice to get where we want to go. So again, with Seth as a mature kid and an older kid and a veteran, the guy that we've been with for 3 years, there's nothing that he stresses out about. So for me to be able to say that's the way he thinks, that's the way I think, that's the way I put the pressure I put on myself with what we're doing this year. So to me, it's not a stressful thing for Seth. It's something he signed up for a long time ago. It's something through his dad of growing up in the field house and being a high school quarterback down in Texas. It's something he's done every single year. That's just the way it is. What we play on what we do on Saturdays in the fall will determine our legacy, will determine who we are as a person, will determine how people talk about us, and it will determine our livelihood. And that to me, again, in the quarterback room, in the offensive coordinator room, that's not pressure. That's not a source of stress. That's what we do on a daily basis.
Yep.
And if we're right, the team's going to be right. If we're wrong, the team's going to be wrong. That's something we signed up for a long, long time ago.
Yep. Now, final couple of things for the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach at the University of Memphis, Tim Kramsey on X at TKramsey19. What do you think? We have this house versus NCAA stuff, and obviously you're not being able to focus on it right this second. But the scholarship limits, it looks like you're going from roster limits, going from 120 to 105. Looks like you're going to have 105 scholarships if you opt into that settlement. looks like a sort of an elimination of walk-ons. What do you think about the changing roster at this level and how much it's going to affect the way you team build going forward?
Yeah, you know, like everything in life, yeah, you have to take everything one day at a time. The NCAA is making a lot of new rules and making a lot of new rules very quickly and changing the landscape of college football. And you can look back at it and complain about it. You can look back at it and get upset about it, or you could figure out how to make it work in your advantage and continue it. In all seriousness, that's the game. That's a game that we have to play as coaches. It's going to change a lot of things for us. It's going to force us to be very good with our evaluations out of high school. It's going to be very good with our evaluations out of the portal. It's going to make it even more important to keep the team that you have in-house after the season. It's going to force you as head coaches, which I'm not, but as coaches, again, like I said before, the stability of a program is what makes a program good or bad. It's going to determine what a program is, the stability of the program. If you have a bunch of turnover with coaches and a bunch of turnover with players, that's going to negatively affect your program. If you can keep everybody in-house and keep everybody happy in-house and then be great evaluators in the portal and great evaluators out of high school, I do think, some of these lower, cutting down some of the players on the team is going to force you to be very good evaluators at high school and do a good job in high school recruiting. So to me, that's the game. Is it going to change it? Of course. But you got to be able to adapt. You got to be able to improvise. You got to be able to overcome anything that goes on. And to me, again, I'm going to go back to it, the stability and keeping people who are in your program, in your program. That to me is going to be a tell as to who are the top teams and in the country down the road.
Now, last quick thing. A lot of your guys have been playing college football 25. Have you been able to go look at your playbook in college football 25? That's what I really want to know. Do you think they've dumbed it down, or do they need to add some things? Have we been able to check that out?
We checked it out a little bit. We have it at home. I got a fifth grader, sixth grader boys at home. So we've been playing it. They've been hitting me up on it. They play with Memphis. They have a lot of fun with it, man. So it's cool. It's fun. And they keep asking, do you have this play in? Now, what does get me sometimes our players come in. Hey, coach, I saw the halfback pass in the playbook.
You're like, okay, relax. Relax. Take it easy.
What playbook? He's like, oh, the playbook on College Football 25.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. Got it. I don't know if that was in our playbook.
Yeah, you have your left tackle walking up to you. I saw a left tackle screen on there. I saw a double pass with the left tackle. Where's that at?
No,
come on.
Question,
they promised
man,
me that I, they promised I, me that you ran that.
Yep. I'll tell you though, man, it probably is fun for them to go home and play. And I know a lot of our other quarterbacks in the room have benched Seth Hennigan in the game and started playing themselves.
That's beautiful stuff. You got to play with yourself. I mean, wording. I'll be careful with my wording there. But you got to play. If you're in the game, why wouldn't you play as yourself?
There's no question. Absolutely. So they have a lot of fun. And the thing we get a little concerned about is coaches that, hey, some point you got to put the controller down and go to bed, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I could imagine how fun that is, man.
Yeah. Do you have those guys staying up in a dorm right now with each other, or are they staying at home?
No, we don't have them in the. They stay in their apartments. They stay in their places. They're not. It's not like old school where you used to put everybody up in the same dorm for so long. So
yeah. Yeah, I remember. There's no question about it.
Back. We have them up here most of the day.
For sure.
They're up here most of the day. They get a break.
But also with that's a lot. There's more trust built into that, right? Like that with certain teams, you would definitely have to throw them in a dorm. We're building it up. But again, you talked about it being a senior laden team, so you guys have that trust. Hey, you guys can go back home. We completely have that understanding.
Yeah, if you as coaches are running around trying to get guys, doing the right thing and not going to certain places during fall camp, then you got bigger problems.
Yeah.
You're not going to have success if the kids are doing what they're supposed to do and go home and take their naps during the day, do whatever they got to do during the day, and then get home and go to bed at nighttime and come back. The NCAA has taken off field time for us in fall camp, but you can still meet with them and walk and all that. And to me, that's just as that's just as important. So, but if you're chasing kids around on doing the wrong things, then you're in the your program's in a bad state. We're nowhere near that. Our guys are where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there.
Yeah. Now, I may need to make it up. You got a scrimmage coming up this Saturday at the Liberty Bowl. First one at the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, we got, we had one this past weekend here, and then we have one on Saturday over at the Liberty Bowl, or whatever is left of the Liberty Bowl right now.
Yeah, right. How do you guys feel about that? How do the players feel about that, sort of the half stadium idea?
Yeah, you know what, we haven't brought it up much. We haven't talked about it a whole lot. You know, it'll be interesting when we get there and start playing games. But, you know, like we talk about every place, there's sometimes you go on the road and you play and they – atmosphere that isn't very, you know, loud, not a lot of fans in it. Sometimes you play in an atmosphere like we did with Missouri last year, where there's a whole bunch of people there. So to me, once you get on the field and start playing, you're focused on that 120 yard field, 53 and a third wide, and that's what you're focused on. So it'll be good to get in the Liberty Bowl though and get a good scrimmage going, because you know we got a lot of new guys.
Yep.
And you know, this was brought up in one of our meetings the other night. There's a lot of guys on our team right now who we're counting on, who have never run out the tunnel of the Liberty Bowl, you know? And to me, that's part of college football that sometimes people forget about, you know?
Yep, 100%. Now, I need to maybe hit up Silverfield, Coach Silverfield, see if I can get a credential for this weekend. Come see what you guys are up to. I'll say what's up. But, Coach Gramsci, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. Thanks for carving out some time.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. That's Tim Gramsci, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for the University of Memphis.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.